Welcome to the 10th episode of the second season of Heart to Heart with Michael, a program for the bereaved community. Our purpose is to empower our community with resources, support, and advocacy information. This season's theme is a celebration of life, and we are fortunate to have Julia Wagner with us here to discuss grieving with grace. Julia will tell us about her daughter, Lizzie. In segment two, we'll learn more about how the Wagner's faith has helped them heal. And in the third segment, we'll learn about new traditions the Wagner family have created that have enabled them to remember and to honor Lizzie. Julia is the mother of six children, the oldest of whom died suddenly and unexpectedly after an unforeseeable accident at home. At the time, Lizzie was just 2 weeks shy of her 13th birthday, which added an extra layer of poignancy to her loss. Not only did Julia and her husband have to learn to handle their own grief, but how to tenderly guide their remaining five children through the process of coping with their loss as a family and as individuals. Lizzie's parents have focused on remembering her with joy and preserving her place in their family by creating new traditions in her name, as well as maintaining old ones the family cherishes. Julia, welcome to Heart with Michael.
I am happy to be here.
Julia, please tell us about your daughter, Lizzie, and what she was like and the special role that she played in your family.
As the oldest, she was kind of the caretaker of the family. She loved her siblings. She loved to play with them, make up games, tell stories. She loved to interact and help them with different things and other people as well. She absolutely loved the color pink and silly, ridiculous jokes. She loved to do acts of service and help others. One of her favorite things was to make fleece blankets to donate to the children's hospital. That started when her younger brother was in the hospital for a congenital heart defect. And she would help make these blankets to donate. She also ran a lemonade stand and would donate the money to the Children's Heart Foundation. And she just loved helping other people.
What are some of the things that she would do to help other people?
Well, again, it was mostly with a lot with the blankets and the lemonade. Mm-hmm. She would do things, just go out of her way. If she saw someone who was sitting by themselves, maybe they were sad at a school event or at church or somewhere else, she would just go sit by them, no matter the age. She would just go be their buddy. She was always ready to lend a helping hand. We'd walk through a parking lot at the grocery store, and she'd see someone who was struggling with their kids or with their groceries, and she'd run over and help.
Sounds like a sweet kid.
Yeah.
How's the family dealt with the trauma? What were the resources that you drew on when you made plans for going forward?
Well, at first it was just, we're reeling from the shock. I don't know that we really knew what to do with what had happened and how to guide the family through it. One of the resources that helped us the most was a group here called in the Cincinnati area called Fernside. And the thing that makes this group so unique is they are a child grief support center, and they focus on helping children go through the grieving process. We knew there were plenty of aids for adults, but we were concerned about our children and how to help them cope with losing their oldest sister. And this group was wonderful. We were able to meet with them once a week, and we would have dinner, and they would separate the children out into age groups. So each of the children would go with other kids their age and be able to talk with them about their experiences, their feelings, and know that they weren't alone in what they were feeling. It really gave them a way to understand and comprehend the grief process and to express themselves in a safe place. While the children were meeting, the adults, as parents, we had an opportunity to meet with other parents and be able to discuss our feelings. Part of the time we would discuss how to help our children through the grieving process, and some of the times we would just voice our own frustrations and grief with each other.
Do you find that this opened you up in conversations between you and your children? Did they open up to you better?
Absolutely. We would spend many times on the drive home from Fernside. We would be talking about what feelings had come up, how it had helped them. And there were things that we found out because of the children having been able to express themselves. Sometimes it was through an art project and they'd share with us the art project. There's one instance when our third child, our daughter Emily, shared with us an art project. And in this art project, we saw that she was blaming herself for Lizzie's passing. And we were able to talk with her and address that and bring her comfort and help her understand that it was in no way or means her fault. And she was able to overcome those feelings of guilt.
That's remarkable. I found I had a lot of trouble getting my kids to talk about it when we lost our youngest. And it's been 5.5 years, and I don't think I've ever sat down with either one of them and had a strong conversation. It comes up from time to time, but we've never said, okay, today we're going to talk about it. And I guess it's great that you had a group that gave you the way, gave you the tools that you needed to go and do that. So my next question is this something that exists outside of the Cincinnati area, or is this something that can be set up anywhere?
As far as I know, it is not something that exists outside of the Cincinnati area, but I would love to see it in more places. I think it's a valuable resource that would really help families as they go through the grieving process. And I believe Fernside has a website, and I'm sure they would be more than happy to help individuals set something like Fernside up in their area if they were to be contacted.
Who are the people that guide this? Are these professionals, or just, I don't need to say just, but are these professionals or people who've been there before, or some combination of both?
I believe it's some combination of both. I know that they do have some professionals. They're also heavily staffed with those who have been through the process themselves.
Home Tonight Forever by the Baby Blues Sound Collective.
I think what I love so much about this CD is that some of the songs were inspired by the patients.
Many listeners will understand many of the different songs and what they've been inspired by. Our new album will be available on iTunes, Amazon.com, Spotify.
I love the fact that the proceeds from this CD are actually going to help those with congenital heart defects.
Enjoy the music.
Home Tonight Forever. You are listening to Heart with Michael. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on Michael's program, please email him at michael@hearttoheartwithmichael.com. Now, back to our program.
Tell us a little bit about your faith.
Okay, well, I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and it has been part of my life since a very young age. And I feel like it's really helped kind of lift us through this. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We believe in God. We also believe that families are eternal and that we will be together with our families after we die. That has helped a lot in bringing us hope as we have navigated the grief process and with the loss of our daughter, knowing that we will see her again.
So you're saying it's basically it's a temporary loss. It's she's for the moment not here. That's a very interesting view because not everybody has that.
Yeah, it is. And for us, it brings comfort. And as we talk about it with our children, it gives us something to be able to help them hope and see, wait for. It's hard to wait. We know, you know, we have to wait a lifetime, but it really does bring a level of comfort that I wish a lot of other people could feel and experience in their lives as they grieve for loved ones that they have lost.
Can you give me an example of how your faith has helped you deal with your loss and a specific moment when, you know, you drew on that to pull through?
Yes. You know, there's been quite a few moments. We believe heavily in prayer and praying to our Heavenly Father as well. And there were many moments where I'd try really hard not to fall apart too often in front of the children. And so the car was kind of my outlet when I found myself driving alone in the car. And there was one moment where I was just really just devastated and just having a really hard time. And I was feeling rather hopeless. And I kind of had it out with God. I, you know, got a little angry. And there may have been a little yelling
that's allowed.
In that car.
That's allowed. A lot of people get angry. I think anger is one of the most normal things you can feel. And if you are a person of faith, then you are going to look towards the source of everything, which is also the source of your anguish. I think that's totally fair.
But yeah, it is allowed. And that was something I had to learn, was that I was allowed to be angry sometimes. And as I kind of just headed out with God, I just had this overwhelming feeling of love and hope come to me. And I remembered and knew that I would see her again. And that while it was really hard right now, and the years ahead would be hard, and I would miss her every second of every day, that I would see her again. And mm-hmm. I feel her with me many, many times. I feel a closeness that she is still around us, even though we can't see her. She's still part of the family. She's still with us. And we feel her presence, and knowing that we'll be together again, and knowing these things, it helps me get through those really hard, tough parts where I'm just starting to fall apart and feeling like everything's just kind of getting shredded to pieces. I can grab onto those pieces and pull them back mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and make it through and keep the family together and strong.
In my faith, we don't have a structure, a very good structure of the afterlife. We have a basic understanding. We more or less assume that we're there, that we'll make it, but we don't have a structure of being together again as a family. Is that specific to LDS?
I don't know if it's specific to LDS, but it is something that, as being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that it is definitely part of our religion. We believe, you know, family is a central and integral part of our religion, mm-hmm. and we believe that through Jesus Christ and God, we are able to be together as families for all eternity. It's a central unit, and we believe we existed as families before we came to Earth, and that mm-hmm. we will exist as families after we leave this Earth.
I think it's one of the things that's always intrigued me is the centrality of family, because we believe in some sense that we'll be together in a way that we don't really completely understand. It's not exactly physical, it's non-corporeal. We don't really know what it holds for us, but we don't have the sense that we will be together in one place and our family will sit together for dinner and our family will be a family again. We'll be together, but we don't really understand what that means. And so I find it very interesting that the centrality of family, you mentioned before you came to Earth, as opposed to after. I guess my question is, what the purpose of the middle part, the purpose of being alive, is that in any sense connecting the two parts from before and after, or is it something else?
So it absolutely connects the two parts. We believe that we come to this Earth to gain experience, to learn and to grow, mm-hmm. to become what God wants us to become, to learn to have faith in Him and mm-hmm. to follow Him. And as we learn these things, we believe that when we die, there's two things we can take with us. And those two things are knowledge, the things that we learn and experience while we are here mm-hmm. on Earth, and our relationships. So our families and also the friendships we make, we believe those relationships will continue on. And so the friends we make here will be the same friends that we have and hold dear after we pass on. And so the being here on Earth is the bridge between those two parts. And so we have a chance to come and to learn and grow and experience, and then we carry that with us after we die.
This program is a presentation of Hearts Unite the Globe and is part of the HUG Podcast Network. Hearts Unite the Globe is a nonprofit organization devoted to providing resources to the congenital heart defect community to uplift, empower, and enrich the lives of our community members. If you would like access to free resources pertaining to the CHD community, please visit our website at www.hug-podcastnetwork.com for information about CHD, the hospitals that treat children with CHD, summer camps for CHD survivors, and much, much more.
I was 5 hours old when I had my first surgery.
Wow. The only advice I can really give someone like that is to be there for your family.
This is life, and you have two choices. You either live it, or you sit in a corner and cry.
I am Anna Jaworski, and the host of Heart to Heart with Anna. Join us on Tuesdays at noon Eastern Time on Spreaker, our Blog Talk Radio. We'll cover topics of importance for the congenital heart defect community. Remember, my friends, you are not alone.
I am with Origami Owl Jewelry, and we personalize lockets. It has helped me heal so much by having that locket. I've had other friends and customers who have created lockets. They love their lockets, and they gift lockets to people who are bereaved or they're celebrating somebody.
To get your own Origami Owl locket, contact Nancy Jensen on Facebook or her website, nancydancyme.origamiowl.com. You are listening to Heart to Heart with Michael. If you have a question or comment that you would like addressed on our program, please send an email to Michael Lieben at michael@hearttoheartwithmichael.com. Now, back to Heart to Heart with Michael.
Welcome back. We've been learning about Julia's daughter, Lizzie, and how Julia's family's faith has helped them to deal with the trauma of losing Lizzie at the tender age of 12. Julia, tell us about the activities your family takes part in on a regular basis to remember and celebrate Lizzie.
I think one of the most important things that we do is we talk about her a lot. Our youngest child was not quite two when she passed away, and he was just so attached to her that we were worried about him growing up without any memory of her. And so we would tell stories, and she loved jokes. We just do a lot with humor in our family. And so we have favorite jokes that she would tell that we just tell all the time as a family. And even though we've heard them a million times, we still laugh over them. And we talk a lot about her. We look at pictures a lot. There's special things that we do on holidays and throughout the year to kind of keep her memory alive, especially in the year, the month where she passed away in April. We do some very special things at that point in time and over her birthday to help kind of ease the pain that that time of year brings.
We're going to hear about that in the rest of the section, but go back a second. I want to hear about the humor, because I think that's probably more important than it sounded.
Yes. So the humor, our family has coped with trauma with humor for years. Whenever things get stressful, my husband and I start cracking jokes. And it all started with when our son was in the hospital with a congenital heart defect. I'm not sure that the hospital staff knew quite what to do with us. but being able to laugh about things, I was always of the opinion you can choose how you react in a situation, and you can laugh or you can cry, but crying gives me a headache, so I prefer to laugh. And so
I don't think you're alone.
So in order to relieve that stress of the grief and the heartache, we would tell jokes. And there was a period of time where she was in the hospital and we weren't sure if she was going to make it or not. And it was that period of waiting time where it's just awful. No one likes to wait and find out what's going to happen. And in those moments, I sent a message out over Facebook, comic relief, and just all these stupid jokes came flooding in. And it just gave something just kind of positive and to help ease the pain of the moment and what's going on. And so that's just something we turn to is, you know, when it starts getting too heavy, we start cracking jokes.
No, I totally agree. And I think there's no holds barred. A friend of mine was recently in the hospital receiving his pacemaker, at the age of 78, and we passed around on the internet that, you know, the day he got his pacemaker was also by coincidence his birthday. And we passed around the word, we're all going to get on roughly at the same time and fill his Facebook wall that day with hospital jokes. Okay. Going straight for the, you know, straight for the jugular. We're going to joke about being in a hospital. This was a guy who could take it, but I think that the idea is you have to break it with something. You've got to punch a hole through it, and the biggest hole that you can make. And really, again, people who haven't been there think that we're crazy, or they don't understand it. And I hope they never get there. And I hope in that sense that they never do understand it. But from my personal experience, we've never been through a mourning or a loss of somebody in our house, in our family, my grandparents, without hysterical humor and laughter. And I think that's one of the most healthiest things that a human can do. I really, really do. But let's move on. Tell me about, you mentioned certain days of the year and you have different traditions. You talked about Valentine's Day. You talked about her birthday. You talked about that whole month. Tell me some of that.
With Valentine's Day, that's a really special one. That one started when she was very little. She was about 8 or 9 years old. And she came home from school one day with a flyer that talked about a father's daughter Valentine's dance. And she really wanted to go. And of course, she is one of three girls, and then we had three boys. But at that point, we only had four, I believe, maybe five of the children. And she came to me with this flyer, and she says, I really want to go and do this with my dad. And I looked at it, and the cost was something rather unreasonable, especially when we considered that he wouldn't be able to take just Lizzie, who would have to take all three girls. So I had to tell Lizzie no. And she was pretty disappointed, and she was kind of staring at her feet, and you could tell she was just really, really sad. And then she gets this little glimmer of hope in her eye, and she looks at me and she says, well, can we have our own family dance? And
well,
I was like,
nice.
Well, yes, of course we can. And so a tradition
Brilliant.
Was born. So she helped me make decorations, and we cleared the kitchen area of the table and chairs and hung all these Valentine decorations, and we made finger food and refreshments just like you would have at a dance. And she helped me pick out all the music, and we just had a family dance. And so every year we had a family dance, and then she passed away, and Valentine's Day came around, and we're all kind of looking at each other, and do we continue this tradition? And the kids were like, well, we can't have a family dance without, you know, it'll be hard to do it without Lizzie, but we can't not have it. And so
right.
I went to the grocery store of all places just before Valentine's Day and was walking through the grocery store, and they had these huge, gigantic stuffed animals. And surprise, surprise, sitting on top was this huge pink lizard. And Lizzie loved lizards. That was
one of
her nicknames. And she actually didn't mind the nickname lizard. and she thought it was great. And so there's this gigantic pink lizard. And I was like, what are the odds? So I bought the lizard, took it home. We had the family dance, and we still do it every year now. And we still have the big pink lizard, and it comes down, and everybody takes turns dancing with Lizzie the lizard, since Lizzie can't be with us physically. So that's one thing that we do.
I think that's totally beautiful. And she's brilliant for coming up with it. Totally beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just brought so much joy. And we look forward to that. Some of the other things we do to celebrate is in the month of April. So, you know, we call it her angelversary when she passed away is, you know, of course, 2 weeks just before her birthday. And so the month of April gets to be really hard. And she also passed away the day before Easter. And that, of course, Easter is really big in our family. And so all of those things kind of combined make April kind of the month that we're like, oh, April's coming. So we decided we needed to do something positive in her memory to get us through the month. And we thought back to how much she loved to make fleece blankets and donate them. And we began making fleece blankets in her memory and donating them to Fernside, the group I talked about earlier. Fernside has a camp, a once-in-your-life camp that kids can go to that works through grieving and all these things. And at the camp, they give the children these blankets. And so we started making blankets every year to donate to Fernside. And it's been amazing because we get donations from people for fleece. And every year we make more and more blankets. And this year we were able to donate 26 blankets. And these are blankets we make in about a 2-hour period. And so
2 hours per blanket?
No, like we set up a time, you know, we're going to make these blankets between, you know, 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And all these people come from the community and church to help us. And we get fleece donations from them before and during. And just we start making blankets and we make as many as we can. And this year we made 26. There was one I had to finish after the activity was over, but...
Wow.
And it's amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah. I think these are things that you can really only do with big families, but I'm trying to picture what it must look like with everybody working on blankets. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about Christmas before we go.
Okay. So Christmas, that was another really special one. It was another, of course, really hard holiday as it came up. Was how do we cope with getting through Christmas? And I was getting ready to, we were decorating the house and I pulled out the Christmas stockings and, you know, we hang them in order of age. And so, you know, she's the third one I hang and I picked up her stocking and I just sat and stared at it. And, you know, of course I cried and I was like, I can't bear to have this stocking hanging there empty, but you know, but I can't not hang it. And so I talked with my husband and we said, well, what if we fill the stocking with acts of service and encourage the family to serve each other and other people? And what if we ask other people to send in acts of service and we can put them in the stocking? And that's what we did. We gathered our family and told them what our plan was and they were really excited. And so they would go around all of December finding every way they could possibly think of to do something nice for their siblings or for a neighbor or just someone in the community. And we put it out on Facebook and we had her friends and even strangers that found out about it sending in acts of service that they had done so that we could put them in Lizzie's stocking. And we tell people, we're like, it can be anything that's been done throughout the year. So we have some people now that like save them all up all year long and they send them to us in December. So then after everything's done on Christmas Day, after we've opened all the presents and done all of our usual things, we gather around and take Lizzie's stocking down and read all the service that was done. And we think it's just a beautiful way to... a gift for her and also a gift for our Savior Jesus Christ and for God.
It's a wonderful thing that you do. It's wonderful. I want to tell you before we go that I have fallen in love with your family. I've fallen in love with you. I have fallen in love with Lizzie and everything that you do. I just think you guys are great. And you're a model for people who are going through loss now and thinking, what can I do? How do we possibly get through this? And how can we remember our loved ones in ways that we can keep them close and not break down all the time? And I think you guys really found that middle road. And I really I'm proud to have met you because I think you really have given me something to think about personally. And I hope that our listeners will have a very similar experience. And that concludes this episode of Heart to Heart with Michael. I want to thank Julia Wagner for sharing her story with us. And I hope that her family's creative ideas about honoring Lizzie have inspired those who are listening. Thank you again for being with us.
Thank you.
Please join us at the beginning of the month for a brand new podcast. I will talk to you soon. And until then, remember, our loved ones are still with us as long as we keep their memories alive. Thank you.
Thank you again for joining us. We hope you have gained strength from listening to our program. Heart to Heart with Michael can be heard every Thursday at noon Eastern Time. We'll talk again next time when we'll share more stories.